This is Rush to Reason.
You are going to shut your damn yapper and listen for a change, because I got you pegged, sweetheart. You want to take the easy way out because you're scared. And you're scared because if you try and fail, there's only you to blame. Let me break this down for you. Life is scary. Get used to it. There are no magical fixes.
With your host, John Rush.
My advice to you is to do what your parents did. Get a job first.
You haven't made everybody equal. You've made them the same, and there's a big difference.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know, you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there. It is this feeling that has brought you to me.
Are you crazy?
Am I? Or am I so sane that you just blew your mind?
It's Rush to Reason, brought to you by Absolute Electrical Heating and Air. With your host, John Rush.
All right, I am your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. We've got a guest that's supposed to be joining us here that we were waiting to call, but Charlie's going to go ahead and try to call her instead. I had another text message that came in from somebody asking on the EV end of things, really quick, since I was on that topic a moment ago. How do the temperatures, like, you know, Vegas and Arizona, affect the battery of an EV? And I just responded to that. I don't know. I've never been in, you know, temperatures above the 9,500 degrees we have here. And frankly, at that temperature, it doesn't affect mine really at all. I would think, though, when you start getting above those, you know, 100 degree marks in like Vegas and Arizona, yeah, I think you're going to see some degradation in the battery. Probably not like you would in the cold, but I'm guessing you'll see a, you know, 10 to 15%, you know, range reduction, I would think. Again, I've never driven my vehicle. I own it, but I have not driven my vehicle in those particular areas to know that exactly. Sally Pipes, though, joining us now. Sally, welcome back to Rush to Reason. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, and thank you for having me back.
No, appreciate it. CEO of Pacific Research Institute and the Reconciliation Bill, among other things, by the way. You know, we're going through different things. We heard, you know, the president speak on this about a week or so ago. They're working on it through the Senate, and we're, you know, part of this, I should say, and I talked about this briefly last week, but I didn't get into the details of it, is to negotiate prescription drug prices for Medicare. Explain what that means.
Well, exactly. So as everyone knows, the Build Back Better, I call it the Build Back Better bankruptcy plan.
Exactly. Thank you. Yes, that's exactly
$3 trillion. But of course, Senator Chuck Schumer has been just at the bit trying to get something new. And so finally he got Senator Joe Manchin from West Virginia to agree to the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022, which is part of the Senate Budget Reconciliation Package. And of course, it's not an inflation reduction package at all. When you look at it, it's $739 billion in new taxes and $433 billion in new spending. They say they will have a deficit reduction of $300 billion, but that never happens in government,
nope,
as you
never.
Know. But as part of this Inflation Reduction Act is there's a provision that says that the federal government will save $288 billion a year by allowing Medicare to negotiate drug prices with the drug companies. And of course, this is about price controls, because the HHS negotiating Medicare drug prices with the drug companies means that the government will determine what price they're willing to pay. And this, interestingly, HHS, Secretary of Health and Human Services, right now Mr. Becerra, former Attorney General of California, and very, very progressive, he would select the top 10 to 20 that the government spends on Medicare each year. And this would start in 2026. And so they would set the price. Now, what would happen is that if a drug maker does not accept the price that the government's willing to offer them, they will have to pay a 95% penalty on all of their drug sales. So this is a price control program that is going to hurt consumers. And, in fact, just today, the CBO came out and said the reconciliation bill will raise drug prices significantly. Thomas Phillipson from the University of Chicago, former head of the Congressional Council of Economic Advisors, has said that these drug price controls will reduce research and development in American pharmaceuticals by $660 billion through 2039, and we will have 135 fewer drugs. And as you know, John, America is where all of these drugs are developed, and we have to keep the pipeline open. And this, if this reconciliation bill passes and this is included, this provision, it's going to destroy the market for innovation and destroy the pharmaceutical biologic industries.
And as much as some folks don't like them, and you know, everybody I think at times has issues with, you know, drug prices and things along those lines, Sally. And I do feel, and I'm sure you would agree, that you know there is some other ways to fix and do some things along those lines. The reality is this is not one of them. I'm with you. This is not good. This is just going to shut down not only R&D on, you know, some current drugs that are out there, maybe even getting close to coming to market. They may very well just say, you know what, we'll just quit manufacturing. There's not going to be enough profit in that one to manufacture anymore. We'll just stop.
Well, exactly. I mean, if you analyze it, first of all, I think it's very important to note that drug price inflation over the past year was only 2.5%. It's lower than inflation
than
in
regular
healthcare
inflation.
Costs.
Gotcha.
And what you're paying for regular
got,
inflation.
Got it.
And so that is very, very important. And, you know, as I say, we are the prime developer of all the new
right.
CAR T therapies, the cancer drugs. I mean, we need to keep these. I don't know about you, but I want to be able to have access to the best if I develop cancer or Alzheimer's
agree.
Or any of these conditions.
Well, and I think too, Sally, I think, again, this is where I, you know, I try to be as reasonable, it's part of our name, trying to be as reasonable as possible. And I am not one to say that every drug company out there is evil or every drug is evil and that, you know, the only reason they're doing it is for pure profit. No, I think there's some really good, I know some of these people that work in that industry. I've met them. I know them personally. They are doing their best to save lives and do things to help people on down the road. And no, they are not inherently evil by any way, shape, or form. Have some evil things come from things. And, well, there's evil things that come from every industry that's out there, Sally. They're, you know, men are evil inherently as far as that goes. And so, yes, there's always going to be some of those things that happen in every single industry. On the same token, I kind of feel like, especially the politics, politicians, White House included, they will pick certain drugs, insulin, for example. They'll pick a certain drug and talk about the, you know, the profit that is in that particular drug. And it's almost like, and the American public labels every other drug out there in exactly the same manner. And I feel like there's times they pick and choose the examples that are the most inflated so that they can get their cause passed, when in fact that's not the case across the board.
Well, absolutely, and we're seeing that with the insulin issue right now, trying to control the cost of insulin. People, you know, many people that, you know, don't have drug coverage through their employer are eligible for all the drug companies and pharma have all of these programs for people who are on limited incomes and can't afford them. They have programs for people to get these drugs, whether it's insulin or whether it's a blood thinner or an Eliquis or whatever. So, you know, there's a lot of good stuff and good programs out there to help people. But, you know, the people, the progressives, whether it's Bernie Sanders or Chuck Schumer, they don't want the American people to notice. They just want to say, you're paying too much for your drugs. We need to the government needs to be in charge of setting the prices. And, of course, this, John, in my mind, is just another step.
Yep.
Towards what Bernie Sanders
That's
has
right.
been pushing for,
That's
Medicare
right.
for all government.
That's right.
Control
well, and Sally, the other problem I have with the government entering into price control on anything is not only what you just said starts to happen, but then it feeds into other industries as well. You know, we've got a big issue right now with gas prices, and, you know, people like it or not, it's still a supply and demand. That's how it works. We still need more supply. The more supply you have and the less demand, the price comes down. You know, it's just basic economics. But the last thing I want as a consumer in the United States of America and as a citizen is for the government to step in and control gas prices. I don't want that any more than I want them controlling drug prices, because one leads to the other as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you're absolutely right. And, you know, I mean, look at the fracking industry. Look at all the fossil fuels that we have in this country. And yet all these climate people say we can't develop these things. We can solve the gas price problem by increasing supply.
That's right.
You know, practically overnight.
That's right.
But these people are so concerned they just won't allow it to happen. Oh, we'll import, you know, oil and gas from Saudi Arabia and we'll open up the stabilization fund. This is ridiculous. We
yes.
need the market to work.
I agree. You are spot on. How do folks learn more about what you guys have going on at the Pacific Research Institute, Sally?
Thank you. Our website is www.pacificresearch.org. All my writings on healthcare and all of our work is on our website.
Awesome. Sally, again, you guys are welcome anytime. Always appreciate it very much. You always bring great information, and we thank you very much for your time.
Oh, great. Well, thank you. I enjoyed talking to you.
You're very welcome. Have a great evening, and we appreciate it very much. And she is spot on.
This is John Rush from Rush to Reason and Drive Radio. Thank you so much for listening. Check out more of our podcasts at rushtoreason.com or drive-radio.com.